This is an interview with Mrs. Giles Thame of Northport. She was a teacher for many years, and I just found out that her mother was also a teacher, and her time goes way back, so she's going to tell us about her mother first.
My mother's name was Martha Mann, and I have her teacher's certificate from 1889, and H.E. Dinsmore was the conductor, probably the county commissioner, school commissioner at that time. And she taught in the Keswick School District number 2 in 1897. And the names of the pupils were August Kelch, Eva Gerard, George Gerard, Arthur Grazier, Henry Grazier, Lily Frelick, Herbert Lindley, Lavinia Lindley, Gertie Olson, Maud Olson, Leonard Rogers, Emil Ranke, Maggie Ranke, Walter Ford, Fort, Julius Steimel, Ernest Strom, Roy Weiss, Delia Zimmerman, Matilda Zimmerman, Ernestine Zimmerman, Clara Ert, Joseph Ert, Charles Gerard, Blanche Gerard, Ollie Grazier, Ed Grazier, Vella Dennis, James Lindley, Perry Lindley, Chauncey Maltman, Effa Olson, John Priest, Earl Rogers, Elmer Ranke, Robert Ranke, Robbie Ranke, Emerson Hacker, Willard Steimel, Will Strom, Sam Weiss, Olga Zimmerman, Mary Strom, Betta Bame, Millie Donner, Henry Kelch, and Reuben Grazier.
That's quite a list.
That was one school.
Yeah. What was it, 8 grades?
Mm-hmm. It was the 8 grades. And then she started teaching when she was 17. She took the subjects she wanted in Traverse City High School, and then she went to Olivet College, and then she wrote the state teacher's exam and got her certificate. She taught in the Bohemian settlements west of Lake Leelanau at one time, and at this country school, the big boys bothered some of the little boys going home from school, so she walked home with the kids for a long time. She got sick of it, so the next time they did it, she paddled the big boy. And that night, the dad and the brother of the boy dynamited the porch off the house where she stayed.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And the next morning she got up and started to go to school, and the neighbors stopped her, and she had to go and testify him and get him in jail. So it was dangerous to teach back then, too.
Yeah. I guess there's always problems. Okay, do you know how many years she taught?
She taught 8 years until she was 25, and then she got married, and when she was 50, the Valley School couldn't get a teacher, so she took the state teacher's exam, got her certificate renewed, and then taught 2 years then.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a one-room country school, the Valley School in Bingham Township. I used to run away from home and meet my sister when she came home from school, and I started going to meet her a little earlier each day, so I finally got into school and saw what was going on. And one day I was there when the director of the school board came in, and he in his gruff voice said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "When can I start school?" And he said, "When you know how to behave." And I said, "I can do that now." So I started school when I was a few days after my 4th birthday. I started school.
Oh, my.
And at that time, we had to go to one of the local towns and write a state exam. We wrote on all subjects for 2 days steadily. And you had to pass the 7th grade state test in order to get in the 8th grade, and you had to pass the 8th grade test in order to get in high school.
Hmm.
at that time. One year we had a teacher who couldn't handle us, and she used to ring the recess bell. We'd be out sleigh riding, and we'd come in when we got ready. And we used to dance in the woodshed that had a dirt floor, and we didn't have a pump at school, so we had to go to the neighbors to get water to wash up. So that took quite a while. We had the first hot lunch. We used to bring things to school, and one of the boys would cook stew or soup or something on top of the pot-bellied stove, and then we'd all eat soup. And one time, when we had the dances, Clarence Pop used to furnish the music, which was a stick of wood and a pail. And then one time, all the kids decided to jump out of the window during school, and I wasn't going to. Then I thought, well, the other kids wouldn't like it if I didn't, so I was the last one out. And being a tomboy, the boys told me that the teacher was behind the door with a buggy whip not to come in. So I didn't come in until they told me it was safe to. And then I went up the front to the recitation bench. She hauled off and hit me with a buggy whip. She just got one whack when the boys went up and took it away from her and broke it all in little pieces and then took it out behind the schoolhouse and tried to smoke it. That's the only time peer pressure ever got me. And then I went to Traverse City Central High School. I graduated from there in 1923. Then I went to Michigan State Normal College. It's now Eastern Michigan University. I graduated from there in 1925 on a physical ed course. You got a life certificate at the end of 2 years of college, which allowed you to teach anything for life. The first year I taught, I substituted in Detroit. It was 1925-26. I had 125 in a gym class, 8 gym classes a day. I had, while out on the playground, I had a black boy from the grades put a gun in my face and ask me if I wanted to die. I stared at him and said, "You better put that down," and he did. I don't know why he didn't pull the trigger. And at that time, they were also giving the kids drugs, hard drugs, until they were hooked, and then they had to pay for it.
Back in
1925-26.
Okay.
The next year, I was ill and I didn't teach. In 1927-28, I taught the fifth grade at Northport, and I coached the girls basketball, and they were the champions. Lynette Selig made 60 points in one game. I also had an adult gym class in the evening. I had recess duty and noon duty also. Then in 1926-27, the next year, I taught fifth grade in Muskegon. I had 25 in class, 24 boys and one retarded girl. Then in 1928-29, I taught in Oscoda. I taught there until 31, and I had sixth grade there, and I coached girls basketball, and we had the championship team there. One time when I lost a game by 1 point, I didn't like that, so after that I practiced the girls against the first team boys the rest of the year.
Did they play the same style? Girls basketball was usually confined to 3 courts.
That was a 3-court basketball at that time. You had two guards, two forwards, mm-hmm. and a center and a running center.
Yeah.
And the boys played our rules, but practiced against us.
Uh-huh.
And when we had the return game, they couldn't even catch the ball, let alone beat us. And the next year, 1931-32, I didn't teach because I had a baby girl.
What year were you married then?
I was married in at Alpena in 1928.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first year I taught in Oscoda. Mm-hmm. Then from 1932 to 1946, I taught in Kingsley. 1 year ahead, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, but I ended up with sixth grade. I coached girls' basketball there. Got some stuff on it I ought to tell about that. Mm-hmm. I find it should be handy. The last team I coached at Kingsley has the state record for the most consecutive wins. There was a write-up in the state bulletin sometime in the late 60s. Then I left Kingsley and came to Northport in 46-47, and I was here for 26 years. I taught the sixth grade at Northport. I taught social dancing classes at noon. I chaperoned many of their high school doings. I taught them how to do the Grand March and how to use dance programs. I had a sixth grade boys basketball team that beat the seventh and eighth grade team in the class in the school tournaments. And I had many funny things happen during my teaching record. And even before that, when I was going to the country school, we had an outdoor toilet, and there was just a partition between the boys and the girls. And this one partition had a knot hole in. So when I came in the door one day, I got shot in the eye. So it made me angry, and I went home and told my dad about it. And so he gave me some red pepper to put in the hole, and we didn't have any more trouble. Here at Northport School, I had many funny things happen. We set our multiplication tables in 30 seconds in rotation, and one day, one of the Curzon boys came and he said, "Mrs. Dame, I didn't have time to study my tables last night. I had to milk the cows." And I started to laugh, and he said, "Why are you laughing?" And I said, "Well, you're on the fours, and I don't know a better place to learn your fours than milking cows." Another time I came into my room, and there was a can of, there was a six-pack of beer on my desk, minus one can with a sign that says from your sixth grade. Well, I took it up to Mr. Freeman, and he didn't ask me where I got it. He asked me what happened to the sixth can. Well, I found out that my kids had found it over the bank. The high school kids had hid it there so they could go down and get a swig when they wanted to. That night, I saw the boys heading for over the bank, and I yelled at them, told them it wasn't any use going because I had their beer. And they said, "How much will it cost us to get it back?" I had one class of 46 students. Then they recommended 35, then 30, 25 now, and they're beginning to recommend 15 pupils as a class size. When they get 25 students, they suggest that they have a teacher's aide, and I asked what they'd do, and they said they could correct your papers. And I said I didn't want anyone to correct the papers, because that's the way I could tell what mistakes they made and what I had to teach or reteach. We celebrated all holidays. First, I taught the history of each holiday. We put on programs, many for the public. They put on dinners that students planned and even made place cards. They made homemade ice cream. I put the recipe on the board and they figured out how many servings they wanted and how much of each item to bring. The only catch was You had to eat what you made. They redid and varnished their desks. When they got to the seventh grade, someone came down every day to check to see that the new sixth grade students took care of them. One year I had six students who read at the first grade level. I got the first grade reader and went through each grade to get them up to the sixth grade level. When we got to the third grade, one student said, "Mrs. Dame, I don't have to do this." And I said, "No, you don't. If you don't care if you know how to read or not, why should I get gray hair over you? But if you want to, I'm here to help you." What he meant was, he could read. He went on through college, through high school and through college, as an officer on the Great Lakes. Now you want to. I didn't have many discipline problems, partly because I had many of the parents of these students the first time I taught here. I paddled their hands with a ruler or their butts with my hand when necessary. I didn't have to do this very often. They knew they had to behave and work when they came into my room. One mother thought I had punished her child too severely. I said, "You admit you can't make him mind, and I can. You ought to be glad someone does before he gets out in the business world and has to take orders." She agreed.